help those who are most vulnerable. And I'd like to remind ourselves how Code Blue got started. It was started back in 2013 with Nancy Pitts. And it's our citizens felt strongly that nobody should ever freeze to death in our community. So now I'm going to go a little off script. So when I recently heard that the Presbyterian Church, which I have friends who are parishioners in, was stepping forward, I personally thought that was a good idea because we need to find a solution. However, I was able to meet with Adam Bob and Rich for breakfast this past week, and I understand that there's some real concerns with safety as it stands today. And my first thought is of an immediate nature. You have an immediate need for safety. So part of this discussion, I would have liked to have seen our Commissioner of Public Safety here or our Chief of Police, because it sounds like there needs to be some action immediately. So understanding that was something that I had talked to Adam about. So I don't know where that sits as far as your immediate needs. With regard to
We just actually formed a committee for an outreach to the Commissioner of Public Safety.
Yeah. So and I applaud the community to come together in the fashion that you have. I personally, as a family member of with a dad who led a community group like this, I understand the passion, and I felt the passion the other morning when I had breakfast. I personally have had my own issues. I live on the west side, and I'm a single female who, you know, I have to worry about my own safety concerns. And I've had the homeless in a lot behind my house that was very concerning to me. Now, for whatever reason, that has subsided and they're no longer congregating now. But, you know, understanding that, I cannot come forward today with all the answers, but I will promise to come around the table. I think truly there is a solution and I don't know if necessarily the solution that I did read the press release that the mayor's office released the other day stating that the location would be outside the city. I caution that could create different problems. I don't know, are we gonna be able to get these people on a bus and send them out of the city? I'm not sure. If that is going to be a viable solution. I truly believe in bringing people around the table to have a conversation and come up with ideas. Just quickly, having done that, someone referenced that why not over by the hospital facility? So that would be a thought, you know, to have it near a facility with mental health services and that. I would like to see the coalition come back. I think we need that. I think as you organize, I caution getting attorneys involved. I think I'm glad to see that the church has paused. It's my understanding. Do I have that correct? That they've paused?
Someone.
Yeah. Maybe. So it's really about getting the right people around the table, too. I wholeheartedly believe that there's been a lot of conversations, but I don't know if the right people have been coming around the table. And who's going to organize that discussion? I think that will be tremendously important. I think you guys are taking a step in the right direction. Is tonight's meeting an organizing meeting, Adam?
This was all kind of dropped on us maybe a month ago, this is a bunch of neighbors coming together reacting.
So I don't want to be like not in my backyard, but quite frankly, I've talked to people, and I don't know if I want this in my own backyard. I really believe that.
30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
We're time. Sorry.
Oh, perfectly fine. I have to admit, I don't think I want this in my backyard. So, do I now open up for questions?
Yeah, we'll take 15 minutes of Q&A.
Sure.
It's become longer than we thought.
Yeah, because they got started a little early. Maybe I'll start with, John, go ahead, Brad.
Yes. The pastor, Kate, had come out with a statement in the letter on June 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It says that if no other solution is found, we're prepared to be the city's primary cold brew shelter for the coming winter. Any thoughts or comments on that?
I don't know if this is the only location and solution. So I would ask, I did try to call Pastor Kate the other day and left her a message. I would not deem that that's the only location as far as a temporary location. I think, again, just some ideas that pop in my head, I don't necessarily think that's the only location.
Thank you.
Yep.
Matt, 70 Region. You mentioned kind of different locations, and can you describe and talk to a little bit your view of the scope of responsibility, whether this is the neighborhood, the city, the county, the state, like what level, where does this fall?
Well, I think you have to bring the services, you have to bring a coalition together, quite frankly, of the community, of the clergy, of the city, of the county, and get all parties involved. And with that, everybody has a role, right? So the county can provide certain services. You know, a lot of what's happening with our homeless is a mental health issue. It's an addiction issue. So they need services coupled with a place to live. So it would be creating a coalition. Is that?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to maybe one more layer of that in terms of the coalition. Like, where, for the different members of such a coalition, like, what responsibilities, how do you see it appropriate for responsibilities to be taken among different members of such a coalition?
Well, so if there were, let's say, I believe if I read the press release correctly, that there's a thought of having services through the city outside of the city line. Is that correct, Meg?
No. I'll go through it when we go.
Okay.
So mental health is definitely a key issue.
Mm-hmm.
The county, the city, we have all kinds of services. The problem is there are rules that have to be followed to achieve those services. So how do we fix that gap between we have all these services to offer and help you, but you're not willing to follow those rules? So is there a solution? I don't see a solution if they're unwilling to do what they need to do to get the services that will help them.
When you say, you mean the homeless in the sense of
not
accessing
the people struggling with mental health. So the county offers, financial services.
Mm-hmm.
But to get those financial services and to qualify, mm-hmm. I qualify, but I have to do A, B, C, and D
mm-hmm.
to get those services.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of the problem being they're not willing to do A, B, C, and D. So how do we help them?
Right, if they're not willing to accept the services, so
meet the criteria to get the services.
I'm sorry, they don't meet the criteria?
Well, they meet the criteria, they do not personally follow through with the appropriate
execute.
Plan or steps to receive the services.
Mm-hmm.
So just what are your thoughts about how, do you have any thoughts about how we improve that situation?
I'd have to think about that one, to be honest with you.
Because I think that is the problem.
That they're not accessing.
That's the root of the problem. There's a lot of services, there are a lot of mental health services, but they're not accessing any of those services.
It's why traditionally, Shelley, they end up either in a tent city or in New York, it's underground in Grand Central, because they're not able to access services.
Choose not to, right?
Choose
not to.
Sometimes.
I think I should speak first. So my question is more of a, you kind of alluded to the how COBLA was created, the coalition. Was that like a, was that an official thing? Do we know? Was that an official like city, like led project? Because that's if you're, that's kind of what we do now. I don't know. I've only been here close to 5 years, so I'm not so sure. I don't know the history on those.
Right? Yeah.
If there was a coalition to decide that, okay, we can't let people, you know, die out in the end code blue, there should be a coalition again that either reforms or forms again based on the same people to say, okay, we're going to tackle this new problem. And the community could be one piece of that, right? You know, but one of my signs was, you know, homelessness is not a problem for our neighborhood alone, it's for all of us, right?
That's right.
Like, okay, this is like, you know, everybody has to, you know, everybody has to step in and get involved.
I know that the coalition was started by our prior mayor, and it was, as I mentioned, it was the clergy, it was the community.
So it was started by, that's a little, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a government-led initiative.
No, it's not. No. It is not.
Well, I believe the coalition back in 2013 was started by Mary.
She wasn't mayor when she started this, but I'll get into the details when I speak.
Could I just ask a more general question?
Yeah.
So obviously navigating this and other issues is going to require someone who's really good at building relationships and communicating to various constituencies with competing priorities. Yeah. Can you give us an example from your current or prior work of how you've successfully done that?
Oh, I've brought people around the table for years when I've, I have several that are bouncing in my head. When I was at Panasonic, we went through an internal merger where the company that I worked for was taking over other businesses. And we had some large projects in play that I needed to go under what I would call the non-disclosure, because it was a merging of companies that really we didn't want all the employees to know about. And there were some big projects in play, and I was coming in to take over the project from other people. And I was very sensitive that this was someone else's project that I was taking over. And so I was able to work with these folks to it didn't come out that I was taking the project over. I really let them lead the project, and I just managed it. Without that feeling, I was here. So, I've had those situations where I've worked with, you know, groups of people to
start to the state,
bring people around the table and execute in a very uncomfortable situation, because the companies that we were taking over were not doing well. And so, we were kind of the, if you will,
I think we met. We live a couple doors from Ann Trainer.
I know that the mayor made a release, a statement of a release this week, stating that she would have it outside the city. I don't know if the words were limits or out on the outskirts of the city. You mentioned the hospital area, which is not on the outskirts of the city. So I guess my question is, because you also said that you wouldn't want it in your backyard.
That's correct.
So my question is, if you were to be in office, would you be in favor of putting it inside the city limits? And you said it would be easier for them to get to, and I've heard that argument before. I don't personally agree with it, but what is your personal, like what your personal stance is upon, do you feel that it should definitely be outside the city limits, or would you be open to it being inside the city?
Well, I would be open to it being inside the city limits in the right location. Like, not necessarily in someone's neighborhood. I mean, I've been starting to ask people, you know, where would you put it? Someone suggested City Hall. I go, I don't think that's really going to work, City Hall. But I don't know if I can give you an answer as far as a location, but if I had my druthers, for the purposes of services, it would probably be best for those in need of service to be within the city limits because it's more accessible to them. And that would be my job. But where, if it's not in a location, like if it's in a neighborhood, I don't think it's gonna work. But if it's in an area within the city limits that is not in someone's pocket of a neighborhood, that would be ideal. I don't know if we have that. If we don't, then we don't. I mean, it's pretty black and white when it comes to that. So I hope that helps. Yes.
One other point is that sadly, Saratoga Springs has become the rich neighbor to everybody else. That we are not the only community that provides services for the homeless and for many of those that have other reasons for outreach. Communities, South Glens Falls, certainly Boston Spa. And in this world, CBTA has been very generous benefactors to homeless that need bus rides, and there is a tremendous CBTA bus route. So, you know, Saratoga Springs shouldn't have to inhabit certain areas of their own city. I mean, it is a broader county like that. And I think some statistics, I don't have in front of me, but probably more than 50% of the homeless that are here in Saratoga Springs are not generally the natives of Saratoga Springs.
Yeah.
So people come here from other counties, Schenectady, Albany, not picking on Bridge City, Troy, because it's a benevolent community to those that wish to work in on Broadway and take advantage of what our taxpayers are offering for our area. And it's just that we've inhabited a certain area, a problem that we shouldn't only be the ones to fix. But because of our nature as human people, we take the ball. But every neighborhood, there isn't a person in Saratoga Springs who would ask why. Mm-hmm. I asked leadership of PME that said,
what's that?
Point blank, would you like this man to be wrong? Four people, four answers, no.
Right.
So,
they're going to the bathroom, they're coming back.
With regards to what Patricia offered, even if the city has a location outside the city line, if the church still moves forward with their initiative, that's an option for people. Like, that's where I really think there needs to be a very strong conversation with the congregation, with the church, because the city can be doing one thing, but if the church is doing something over here that's going to keep them inside the city limits, that's just going to create more chaos. So I don't know. I know that there's been a pause button with the church, but I guess in tonight's organizational meeting, making sure that you have the right representation here with the right representation on the other side of the table for the church to have that dialogue, because I think that's a real key piece here. That they, because they're providing a service today, and it's temporary, what are their plans? Are they going to yield if the city does something outside and not do anything at all? So,
And I don't necessarily mean that we would move it out of the city proper to the boundaries of Saratoga Springs, where there's many alternatives that are probably being proposed, but certainly the community's business district doesn't want it. Our vacation spots here in the area don't want it. Spot Park, racetrack, mm-hmm. for other reasons. But there isn't a neighborhood that wants it, and services are provided throughout Saratoga Springs. It's not just in one locale. Oh. Mental health on South Broadway.
But what's the conversation, what's the next action to the conversation for the church?
I mean, we're in communication with the church.
Oh, good.
This coming week.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's going to be a neighborhood meeting.
Just from experience, I mean, as part of that, we have a neighborhood meeting, but you need to have people assigned to certain pieces of the the conversation with her.
And that's going to be good to know.
Yeah,
okay. Because I think that's a real key piece to this. What are they doing and in alliance to what? Because as I mentioned, there needs to be, it sounds to me, and I don't know, maybe you can tell me what's been done as far as safety with the current, you know, chief of police, with the commissioner of public safety, right? You have some safety issues.
Right.
Primarily.
We spoke to the chief of police the other day.
Oh, good.
We're good.
Yeah. Okay.
So time check, kind of one more minute on this topic.
Okay.
So if we want to continue there, if there's any last questions.
The problem is, I think that the church owns the property.
That's right.
The police cannot go onto that property. Mm-hmm. Unless the church calls them to go onto the property.
Right, but where's the dialogue been with? Because, you know, I heard, now again, I'm just hearing this secondhand, that the church has thought about having some type of security on site. I don't know if they've done that.
There's no ear to it yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's been discussed.
So,
they say they're going to do it. You know, we've heard they're going to get a security guard for weeks now, and they have not.
Yeah.
Or it hasn't worked, really.
So you're having a conversation on Thursday with...
I'm not, because no, they don't want to be talking.
Okay, well, but, so...
The neighbors have been invited for this meeting Thursday.
Yeah. So, I think I'm getting the hook. So it's been a pleasure. I just started having this conversation. I don't have all the answers, I will admit. I don't have all the answers. But I highly recommend that you try to keep the attorneys out of it as best you can. And that you get the right folks around the table. When you're meeting with the church, it just sounds like the church hasn't been listening. I know they came around the neighborhood, they've done flyers, but it's missing the mark. To have the right people around the table is the key piece right here. And to also get their attention, whatever their intention is. So it sounds like you have a core group within this room of individuals that are like assigned to meet with the church, and then hopefully they have their core group and you can start working things out
and
having a dialogue, because I think that's the key part.
So thank you.
Watch my drink. So we're going to tag team, because this is how we work. I'll let Michelle open with a few thoughts, and I have I wrote some notes down to questions that I've heard, and we can go through those. But I'll let you start.
All right. So hi, everybody. I am Michelle Madigan. I'm the Commissioner of Finance in the City of Saratoga Springs and have been since 2012. In 2013, I'm going to just give you a little history of how Code Blue got started here in the city. In 2013, a young woman died. I believe you were the family that found the young woman the other day. We were discussing this.
Well, after she passed.
Yes, yes. The former Mayor Yepsen at the time, county supervisor, met with some various people in the community and decided we were going to start a Code Blue shelter. We started that shelter without a plan at all. It was the right thing to do. We needed to start to take care of people, but there was no plan. And so what ended up happening is every year Code Blue would start up and it would shift from one place to, it started over at the Salvation Army, it went to the Soul Station.
No, it
would
start at St. Peter's,
Salvation Army, and then over to Soul Station. And so it really becomes too much for all of these entities to handle Code Blue. And finally they say, we've really had enough. This really isn't at our core mission. And then somebody else tries to step in and offer Code Blue. So the situation we're in right now is you have the church now saying, we're going to take this over, we're going to do Code Blue. And it's not the right location for it. Another reason Code Blue has been so significant is that the governor actually sent down a mandate for Code Blue services to DSS services, whoever the provider is of local DSS services.
So you can look that up. It's Executive Order 151 on the New York State. What's that?
January 16th.
Yes, he started coming out with his executive order. Now, in our county, DSS sits in the county. It does not sit in the city. So our county actually receives yearly funding for Code Blue services. In this mix somewhere along the line, and this has never been city sanctioned, there's never been a vote that's come to city council to say the city is officially going to operate, run, maintain Code Blue. It's been operated and maintained mostly by volunteers throughout the community, restaurants, people sign up, the clergy, and Shelters of Saratoga has really stepped in and taken a big stand here. Back in 2016, I actually put out a little release today because I wasn't expecting an article to come out about this today in the Times Union, but I thought it was worth sharing. And I started to recall all of the things that I've done along the way to try to help with the homeless Code Blue situation. And one of the things I did was I reached out to the Schenectady Mission because I believe Saratoga Springs needs to be looking at a mission. Most communities have them, Albany, Schenectady, South Glens Falls. We do not, and we are starting to see more and more and more of a homeless problem. And I'm going to turn it over to the mayor in a minute, but I want to continue my thoughts here. So in 2016, I held a special city council meeting and brought in the Schenectady Missions Ambassador Program. We had a few people come out and speak in support of it. Unfortunately, there was also a lot of members of the community that didn't support it, so it really didn't go anywhere. But it's not like we haven't been looking at this, like I haven't been personally looking at this and trying to figure out what we can do about a permanent solution for Code Blue and additional services for our homeless population. So I've had a primary going on, and we've been walking a lot, and I've walked all over the city, and it's not just here in the inner core that I hear about what are we doing with Code Blue and the homeless. I hear this almost on every other doorstep I go to. And one day, Meg and I were out walking, because you should know that the city is not subjected to its own zoning laws, and I said, Meg, I think the only way we're going to solve this, the city's very healthy financially. When I first took over as finance commissioner, we were pretty much in the red, had laid off police officers, firefighters, DPW workers, brought all those workers back, have healthy fund balances, really good reserves, surpluses, and a AA+ bond rating. So we're in a really good financial situation, a situation where the city can step in and should help. All right, that's the long-term plan. So I said to Meg, I think the only way we are going to do this is to have a model much like the Franklin Community Center or the Senior Center. The city actually owns the land that the Senior Center sits on and the Franklin Community Center, and it owns the facility. So we own it, we actually maintain it, but we outsource it to a nonprofit. And that's when I said, it's time for us to start looking for land and we start to build a permanent solution for Code Blue. And I don't know where this inner city, outer city, I don't know exactly where the right place is.
30 more seconds, Commissioner.
Yes, but I do think it is somewhere where we have enough land to support full-blown services. I would assume that would be on the outer skirts of the city, and we would also ensure that there would be transportation. And we can do that through another funding source known as community development block grants, which the city gives out every year. And I'll sum it up there, and I will let the mayor take over at this point
for 10 seconds.
We can have a little more than that, I'm sure.
So I just want to give a history of the city of Saratoga Springs and the county and the state. I think that you have to understand those relationships. The relationship with the state is as good as you can get. You know, the governor doesn't know where Saratoga Springs is. So we are trying to always to get him here. So we work with the county. When I came in, the county wants nothing to do with us. So I have created the relationships with the administrator down there, Spencer Helwig. I've met with them half a dozen times since I've been in office. And then I was with Karen, and Karen Gregory of Shelters of Saratoga, and we got talking, and she goes, I can't break through at the county level to have the conversations that I need to have. So this was before the church blew up with all of this. So Karen and I were working on this. So it just so happened that last week I had the meeting with the county DSS, county mental health, and the county administrator. They actually said to the supervisor the next morning, Matt Beach, that hasn't happened since pre-Johnson era, that somebody, a mayor, has come down and sat with them. So I don't know where the breakdown was with Code Blue, because previous mayors should have been down there talking. And I don't know what happened, because it didn't happen. So I sat in the room, I told him my plan, I want to get some acreage, not a parcel, I need acreage. And I want to have not a Band-Aid, I want to have the program. So you can have
training, workforce training, housing, services from DSS for drug health and mental health, all on site. So this is not going to be putting 55 people in a shelter. This is going to be a program that's set up and well thought out and have everything on one property. But, you know, there was things said here today that I want to make sure that you know that out of the 55 people that are at Code Blue, 25 of them go out the door to work. Okay, so I don't know if you know that, but they pack up all their stuff and they go to work every day. So those are the people, when we get them into the right programs, we can get them into housing. We need a housing first program. So we can do that, but we don't have the setup. So it is about getting the land, which the city is gonna do, getting shelters, who Karen Gregory is right with us with this plan, and she has the ability. And I pulled in DSS and mental health at the county level, and they said, we love your plan, let's do it. So, I mean, to me, we are taking this to the next level very rapidly. And these things have never happened. So the other things are, the people aren't from Saratoga Springs. They're from Saratoga County. About 6% are from outside of the county. Now, we have two different things in Saratoga. You have your homeless and you have your panhandlers. They're not the same population. Okay, so your people on Broadway, they're asking for the dollar. They usually come up, sit on the streets, take their dollars, and then get on the bus and go down to Schenectady. So that's a different group, okay? And then the homeless are the ones that you see sleeping someplace, or over in the garages sleeping, or in the woods. That's a different population. So you have two different things going on here. But most of the homeless people in the homeless shelter, they have to tell us where your last address was. It's usually Saratoga Springs or Saratoga County. So that is a little misconception that they're all coming up. They are for the panhandling, I can tell you. You go out to Wilton Mall, they drop them off by out there. So that is it. And then CDTA, if we have this facility on the outskirts of the city, I am not going to put this facility in a neighborhood. I won't do it. I mean, it's just, that's not what I'm going to do. You cannot impact a neighborhood with this kind of population in our community, because you know what? It will end up in a lawsuit. We did it already. We're not going to do it again. We're going to figure it out the right way. So I am not going to impact a neighborhood. And you can take that to the bank. So the other thing is CDTA. I could work with CDTA to change bus routes. I do it all the time. Okay, I do it all the time. We wanted a new bus stop over on West Avenue. We just put it in. We're getting new bus stops on Route 50 by SPAC. We're putting them in. So I meet with them. I'm on the CDTC committee. I go to Albany every couple of months, and I sit with about 15 other men, but that's okay. And we go through all of these processes on what you need in your cities and towns. So what I do is I tell them what we need. Again, I sat at the table, created the relationship, and we get things done. So the transportation is the least of my problems. Yeah. And it's, if you build it, they will come. Okay, so I mean, if you have the services, and you have the food, and you have a nice warm bed, and a TV to watch, they will come. So I think that the idea is, all of that is nice, but you need the services to match. If you don't have the services, then it's a Band-Aid. So I'm done with the Band-Aid. I really am feeling that I am personally driven to take this on with Karen at Shelters, who has been working with me since she's come to the city. So overflow at the church. Somebody mentioned that for this next winter. So there's two things that I'm working on. One is the temporary housing for this winter coming, because we won't have anything built. So we definitely have to have something for this winter. I'm working with two realtors, and we're looking at places to do, house it outside in a different area, not in a neighborhood. So there's a couple of, you know, older restaurants that have been closed. So we're maybe going to open them up and make them a Code Blue shelter. Again, it's a transportation issue. We'll figure that out. You know, if people want to be warm, they'll go in the van and we'll get out there. The other thing is with, that's one piece of it, is this next winter. If we, for some reason, cannot find something, then it's up to three places that we have to split the group up to. You can't have all these people in one place. So, and but I'm going to tell you, that's a logistics nightmare for Shelters of Saratoga. It's costly. So I think that, you know, I am very optimistic that we'll find this place, because I have a couple of places that I'm looking at this week. And then Karen and I are also looking at land this week.
Well, I'm also looking at the land. I'm making sure the funding's there. I mean, this really came together. This was a joint press release between me and the mayor. This really came together because we are in such good financial shape, and I do keep my eye on those books. And we are in a place where the city can have some skin in the game, and we should. As I've said, I've watched this go from one place to another, to another, to a neighborhood, to getting sued, to now the church, to seeing what the impact it's had on your neighborhood. We walked the other day. I mean, I had people crying. They were really just so upset and didn't know how they were going to deal with Code Blue on top of all of the other services that are offered by the church. And so this plan comes together, and I am someone who knows how to work with my colleagues on the city council, because we are a commission form of government that does require, you know, all of us to work together. And I believe that the city council, based on my conversations with them, will support this plan financially to be able to go out and buy the land and start to look at how we're going to build the facility. And yes, I would like the $1 million that Ed Mitson has put up to buy, to build. So there's a lot of pieces to this, but the county's important too. They need to have some skin in the game. So now you've got the city, the county, you know, and other funds coming in as well. And I see this as a doable plan and a project that can work, not just for Code Blue, but for additional services that the mayor has outlined for the city of Saratoga Springs and for the county of Saratoga.
Thanks. I think we should transition to Q&A.
So one thing that was mentioned before was the coalition. So that this is kind of a neighborhood association. We're having some difficulty actually forming it through the city, but there are already other two. So the coalition, how do we start building the city part? How do we start organizing? Where do we come in as the neighborhood association, our part in the coalition? As far as helping, regulating, volunteering. There's a lot of people in here that already volunteer with this population. We got doctors, we got lawyers, we got social workers, right? We got other people. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that are willing to put in time to help this system, right? But right now we're kind of locked out and we don't have a way to do that.
Well, I think in my world, we're not there yet. We have to get going forward. It's just premature. I'm not one to create committees to have a committee. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, I can choose. If you have a neighborhood chairperson, that's the person that comes and sits with me, you know, and tells me what's going on. And that's what I do with the different neighborhoods. But I can't sit at committee meetings. It just makes my brain crazy. So I really task people with the project. I have timelines, and we meet them. So that's how I operate. As far as your involvement, your voice is critical to me, and that's why I'm here, right? That's why I went to houses the other night. I was talking to people. Michelle says to me, let's go to these people's houses. I said, are you crazy? This guy has signs up against me.
Yeah.
Very brave. She was brave. I was behind her.
But it is important that you know what we're doing every step of the way. So one of the things that we have done is we've really upped our social media presence. The information technology department reports into the Commissioner of Finance. So one of the things I've done is revamped the city website. There are ways that you can make sure you're getting updates as content is published. But more importantly now, we are starting to push this content out through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and when appropriate to LinkedIn. That's a little bit more of a professional environment that, you know, HR benefits sort of use at that department. So as we are sort of updating and maybe making a decision on land and making a decision on a facility, I will make sure that's one of the reasons we put the press release out the other day, and we pushed it out to social media, and I think it pretty much got to everybody fairly fast. So that is a good, I suggest you go online and like the city of Saratoga Springs and look at our website and figure out how to sign up for updates so that we can constantly be, you know, pushing information out to you so you know what's going on in the city.
And the other thing is piggybacking on that is we are so available. We answer anybody that walks in the door. I'm there all the time. So, you know, I don't know who contacted me first. I think it might have been Adam. Somebody in here did. But, I mean, I'm here. I answer my emails. I have my assistants there all the time. Same with Michelle. We are two people that are pretty responsive.
Pretty much full time.
I saw that first.
Mm-hmm. From what you've said, it sounds like we shouldn't be worried that there will be a code blue at the church this fall. How certain is that?
I would say that I'm pretty, if you want a percentage,
sure.
90%. How's that?
Well, the other thing I know people are, and this came up, they will not have the Code Blue name, right? The Code Blue name comes down, as I said, through the state, through DSS, and that's going to be with shelters. And so we are very much actively working to look for, because we're not going to have this done by this fall, like you just said. So we are actively looking for another site for yet another temporary year as we work toward that permanent solution.
And shelters is working with us, as the church is. So we're all on the same team. The church didn't realize what they were jumping into. And we didn't know the neighbors would react the way. So the neighbors reacted. They backed down immediately almost because I was there at that meeting. But they really, their mission is a great mission. But they didn't know how much they were impacting just with the EOC soup kitchen. So I think they're learning a lot right now. So let's give them some time.
So do you get the sense that the church is backing away?
Yeah, the church is on my side. They're with me, yes. Okay. I asked that question
this morning. That was in the Times Union article today, I noticed.
My other question is, I didn't go today, but last week when I went on the internet to Code Blue, it listed 24 Circular and it had a bin marking our neighborhood. Can we get that removed?
Sure. I'll take care of that. I'll text Karen right now.
So that time took about 5 more minutes. I saw a few more.
I have 2 questions. One was, a lot of us were not aware that was even in our neighborhood, that it was the overflow. Is there a position, if that is a spot where there's an overflow, are we supposed to be legally notified as neighbors so that doesn't matter? Okay, the second question is, essentially, we've heard that the church is willing to have people housing on their land, meaning staying overnight on the property. And so is there anything that we can do about, what's the city's position?
Are they staying inside or outside?
Outside. They're marching outside, and so far people have gone to the police, and the church has taken the position that they will let people shelter on the property, meaning sleep overnight. So is there does the city have a position on
that? Well, I have to talk to the zoning officer. So that's a zoning issue. So I wouldn't speak for that right now, but I will check with him.
Okay,
that has
to go.
Yeah, next question.
Yes, Mayor, Commissioner, thanks for your position on this. You kind of answered a lot of questions I have, but just a little clarification and a follow-up that was just asked. There has been a statement made that when there is problems there, which there are, I live right across the street, 30 Circular Street, and there are folks that are staying in the front porch at night, in the vestibule outside there. It's very noisy, very disruptive. I see police cars there all the time. I'm trying to figure out why they're there if when they're called because of the disturbance, they're not able to react to it unless they contact the parish first. But yet they are there. So I'm not sure if we are able to call them, if there's a disturbance, if there's a problem, and if they're supposed to respond.
Well, if you call with a disturbance and two people are fighting, they're going to break it up and they're going to take them away. But the whole thing is, it's a fine line. If you call for a disturbance, the police get there, the people calm down, and you don't want to press charges, there's not much they can do. You know, so I mean, it's this fine line, and you know what? The police hands are tied too on this situation. I get it, but I really believe, with what has happened in this room, the church has to start acting. Right. I mean, they have to step up, and I do believe, I have great faith, that they are trying to get a plan together. So I think if we give it time, and my vision is if we get the facility that we're talking about, the soup kitchen will be less because all of those people will be out at the shelter. This is a year-round shelter, not just a Code Blue. It will have Code Blue, but it will be year-round. So the problem is the police come to the church, two people are fighting. We have no place to take them. Right. We arrest them, the judge lets them go. I mean, it's really a tough one.
Yeah. Even when they bring them to the hospital, they don't keep them long.
Yeah, sort of as a follow-up to that as well, we were having discussions earlier tonight and trying to determine where a church stands relative to zoning and planning. And there's been a couple different thoughts put forth. Some folks have said they've spoken to people at City Hall and church is exempt from zoning and planning. Others say absolutely not. They're subject to zoning and planning like anyone else. Can you clarify?
So if you're talking, are you talking about the building that they're doing? The building that they are going to build has to come before zoning and planning, period. They're not exempt.
What about the use of the Nolan House?
The use of the Nolan House has to fit into their mission. So, that's a piece that I don't know what their whole mission looks like, but they can't, open up a Talbot's there.
This question is, does it have to fit into the zoning regulations? Because it's a church, is it exempt? That's his question.
Correct. Thank you.
If they were to do Code Blue there, they would probably be allowed.
Yeah, because it's been because in the downtown core already.
Mm-hmm.
And just as and a kind of follow-up on...
What's that?
The number of beds...
You didn't go to Soul Savings. Yeah. This is like the palace to where they were.
And just to follow-up, you really addressed because you realize no matter what you find for property, nothing's going to be built by November. Mm-hmm. And so now you're kind of turning towards what do we do as an alternative? Because the pastor... you may have heard me ask before, specifically said, if no other solution is found, we're prepared to be the city's primary Code Blue shelter this winter, which is part of our bigger problem, because it's not only Code Blue, but as you mentioned in your press release, it's to establish a fully functioning shelter and Code Blue facility, which is kind of what they're doing. So
it's a shame they sent that press release. That's all I could say. I tried to stop it. They didn't listen to me. It was just... I had sent mine out. They sent it out. I wanted to make changes on it. Saying lines like that just sends everybody crazy. In my world, and I've talked to Karen at shelters, there will not be 55 people at that shelter if it's used for a Code Blue this winter. We have to split it up into three or four different places so we don't impact a community.
So that could be one.
That could be one of 15 people. Yeah.
We've already got.
Yeah.
But you should know. I mean, that's why it's important to start working on this right now. We can't wait until September to start looking for a temporary solution, and we are. We're working on it right now.
Time check, that would do it. Is there any last burning question?
Yeah, how quickly can you buy the land, and what's your relationship with the builders in this town? Because I think that there is somebody that can build it by November.
We are actively...
We couldn't build this facility by November.
Because you're thinking something really big.
It's not big. Architectural renderings. There's just a lot that's going
to go with
it. We
have to go through planning and zoning, just like everybody else. So there's a little bit of...
Actually, the city is not subjected to its own planning
but
and zoning.
But we do get advisory.
We are not. Your separate project?
I gotta find the land. There's a couple of parcels that we're gonna look at this week, and it's a significant,
we're moving.
Acreage, so
we're moving.
I feel it's time. I think if I have the commissioner telling me let's do this, then I'm doing it because she's the person that knows our funds better than anybody in the city. And she does a great job, and we're in a surplus, so it's up to this one here to tell me, yes, let's move forward.
Sorry, Tim's been patient,
In addition to finding land, what do you see as the biggest hurdles to getting it done with what you want to do? And where's the opposition?
The opposition is always going to be there no matter where I go. I have to minimize it, okay? Because if I go out, and I am not going outside of the city. I want to make that clear, because... if I go outside the city, I'm subject to somebody else's zoning.
That's different.
So we have to stay within the city.
That's why I think it's important that it is in the city.
So, but my biggest obstacle is finding the land. I want to make it the right land. It has to be
not, you know, way out by Greenfield or Wilton, because we have to be on a major thoroughfare, at least close to one, so we can get to a bus route.
Mm-hmm. So, I appreciate, thank you very much, and find your statements very encouraging. Some of my feeling is, though, regardless of what the city does, there is a feeling in me that this pastor or that congregation is a bit rogue and a bit on a mission to, oh, we have to, you know, serve this population regardless of what everybody else does. So I have concern of that as well. I just feel that what you're saying is just delaying.
I think they step back. I think they're taking a step back and looking at things. I honestly do. I ran into two elders today at a luncheon that I was in, and they both hugged me, and I'm like, no, I don't even go to the church. So, yeah, but they said thank you.
They agreed. You know,
everybody's just putting the brakes on over there, and they have to figure out what's happening on their property now, take care of it, and I think that's where they're at.
I think you all coming together and getting to know each other over this has really shined a light for the church to understand that there are some significant issues going on right now.
Shine a light.
And I think that that's probably a positive to come out of this. But I feel fairly confident working with the mayor and working with shelters. We're going to have a temporary solution. And we are going to move as quickly as we are able toward a permanent solution.
We get things done.
We do. It's been great, this tenure with Mayor Kelly.
All right, anything else? Thank you.